call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, it's my humble pleasure that you allow me into your hearts and your homes. And like always, you can reach me at BennyRandall.com or you can go over to Benny On Demand in our private community and check us out. And if you just woke up from under a rock, you can go and join the millions of people that have downloaded our Bashani Radio app worldwide right to your phone, baby. You know how we do it. We always grow, and every time they try to hold us down, we grow a little bit more and a little bit more. Today, we got a beautiful and powerful entrepreneur spirit. Her name is Ashley Little. She's the CEO and founder of Ashley Little Enterprises, LLC, which encompasses her media, consulting, writing, ghostwriting, book publishing, book coaching, project management, public relations and marketing, and empowerment speaking. In addition, she is an award-winning serial entrepreneur, TV, radio host, philanthropist, business coach, investor, 8-time best-selling author. And there's so much more on here, I'm not going to even go down. We want to get right into this conversation. I think she's running for president in 2020-something. I'm not really sure. We can ask her when we get her on. We can see if she's running. All right. Good morning, Miss Ashley Little. How are you? Welcome to the Benny Randall Show.
Good morning to the amazing Benny Randall. I am humbled to even be on your show and your platform. So thank you for this amazing opportunity.
No problem. Ashley, you got a lot of things that you're doing, but most importantly, you are running a successful media company run by a black entrepreneur yourself. Tell me a little bit about what made you go into media, knowing it's one of the hardest places to go when you happen to look like us.
Well, my passion, I love people, right? And I know in the media, you have to love people, and building those relationships are so important. So, you know, I've always been a person that built relationships, and I'm all about building genuine relationships. And so the media just kind of just, you know, always been something that I've always been wanting to do, always had a passion for, grew up talking to people, grew up building those relationships, because I believe, and I know it is, that building relationships are more than money. So a lot of my opportunities, a lot of the things that I'm able to do now have came off relationships. So that's why I'm so passionate about media. And I mean, that's the key in the media industry. And I mean, meeting you and interviewing you on my show all came off building relationships and not being afraid to reach out. And I call it shoot my shot, but not being afraid to reach out and put myself out there, whether it's a yes or a no.
Very, very powerful. The vision is big. Tell me about the vision. What is the end result Ashley Little wants to accomplish for Ashley Little? And it shouldn't be Ashley Little. It should be actually Big Enterprises, but we understand.
I love it. So our goal is to continue to build, of course. And I remember, and everybody can know this listening, Benny Randall was one of my mentors as well. And so I remember, Benny, conversation we had about Ashley Little Enterprises and having it as my parent company. And so that's what I did. And my goal is to grow, continue to grow my parent company, right? And continue to create that legacy, right? Whether it's, you know, in the media, you know, building my media platform, and then having my other things like my consulting and publishing and all of that under it. So my ultimate goal is to build a pretty much foundation where I can be able to actually be a successful, continue to be a successful full-time entrepreneur and continue to build legacy, right? It's about building legacy and not just making the money, but being able to keep it, right? And invest it, right? Mm. So that's my ultimate goal.
Absolutely. It's not how much money you make, it's how much money you keep. So you got that right on point right there. So let's dive a little deeper. And we're in unprecedented times right now, times right now with the Black Lives Movement, with the protest to George Floyd. Give me your thoughts on how does media play a big part in this, because especially social media, because you know, you got about a few platforms that are basically sending all the messages around the world, from Facebook, Instagram, to Twitter, you know, and LinkedIn. And you know, of course, there's a lot of other ones in there. Explain the importance of how social media is playing a part in, and how does your media company play a part in that, having a different perspective from the Black perspective, rather, you know what I mean? I'm just saying that because, you know, we have a different perspective, even my company too. So I'm just curious, how do you play, what do you fit into this?
Well, first I would say, you know, as being in the media and with, you know, different platforms, I would love for the media to show the great things that we are doing, right? You know, the or why we're protesting, right? I think some of that's being overlooked because of the looting and you know, all the other things that are happening, which is a distraction. But what is the real reason why we're protesting? The real reason we are protesting is because we want justice, right? We want a change that has been, this has been going on, what, 400 years now? And it took, you know, us to see a man by the name of George Floyd who lost his life in broad daylight, right? Broad daylight. He said, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And it was caused on his deceased mother, right? And just to be able to see that, right? And I know this is not new. This has been happening. But to be able to see that, it's traumatic, right? And that really, for me, from my point of view, when I saw that, I was very angry, right? It was so many different emotions because I'm not a Black man, but I'm a Black woman in America, right? And I have went through discrimination and different things as well. But, you know, I never could tell from a man's standpoint because I'm not a man, but I do have a dad, a brother, friends and that are Black men. And so we know there's a problem, right? We do know that there's a problem that needs to be addressed. And I just think the media should shine more light on why are we protesting. We are protesting because Black men are not treated the same as other races, right? And so we shouldn't be afraid when our Black men leave, that they shouldn't be afraid of their lives, first of all, and they should not be afraid that they're not going to make it back home, right? And so it's an issue, and I look at something, I saw something posted the other day where it took a whole pandemic and for us to cut off sports and everything else for everybody to notice what was really going on in America, right? That the police brutality is a problem there, right? And that the racism, it's a problem there, even though it's been going on, but what are we going to do to change it, right? And I will say, I know we've been protesting forever, but it has been some movement that has changed, and we're hoping that in this new decade, in this, you know, new time, that we can make some more movement within that. Is it going to change tomorrow? No. But we are out there protesting. I've been protesting myself in my city, because we do want change, right? But like you stated, Benny, I've seen you post before, we got to put action behind it, right? So what's the strategy? What's the plan? And that's what we're doing. That's why I founded the HBCU Experience Movement. That's to give back to our HBCU. Now more than ever, we should be encouraging. I'm not against PWIs. I'm not against that, but I am for my people. And we should be encouraging our Black kids to go to HBCUs. And that's why we're investing in them and giving them back to show them a better way, to stop giving your money to the PWIs, and let's give them full rides to come to HBCUs. And not only do that, but share our stories as how it has helped us. Because, you know, attending the HBCU, I would have never got that same experience at a PWI, because at a PWI would be a number, right? But at an HBCU, it's family. They actually want you to be successful for us because they are us, right? And so all of that caters around everything that's going on right now with one of those movements that I have started to have a strategy right behind this to give back, right? And so for everybody that's listening, yes, I'm for a protest, but as Benny has stated, as many other people I looked up to have stated, we have to have a strategy or plan as well. So that's really how I feel. I'm not happy about, you know, every time I watch that video, I get angry, right? Because, you know, this is horrible. We got to do something about it, but we got to have a strategy and a plan. But, you know, protesting, that is one step, right? But we got to just take more action.
Very, very powerful. So Ashley, let's move to the action part. Let's move to the solution part. What comes next? Yes, here's a good thing I can see about this protest is that it's not just Black people. It's all different cultures. It's right. A lot of young people making up movement. But change has to happen when some financially things have occurred also. I think Claude Anderson said it perfectly. You know, you got to run up those five pillars of that economic growth in order to be able to really affect some change. You know, the reason why they don't go into other neighborhoods is because those people have the lawyers, the doctors, the judges, their family members are those people. And so they have a fear of, you know, it may come back some retribution if they go in and doing it to their children. Here's my question. What are the solutions past the protests?
We got to start owning stuff to stop owing stuff.
Say that again, sister. I don't think they heard that. Say that again. You got to what?
We got to start owning stuff to stop owing. That's the key. I've interviewed many people such as yourself, Dr. George Frazier, many people who are where most of us want to be. Have stated that you have to own, like, what are you all going to do? You all, and I am that generation that you all are talking about, right? Like, what are you all going to do? Like, you got to start owning stuff, right? You got to start building your own. And that's the key. We got to start building our own, investing in our communities, right? We got to start supporting each other. One thing we do know about our counterparts is they stick together.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that. We got to start buying the block back. We got to start investing in property. We got to start building our own. That's the key. We have to start owning.
Absolutely. Very, very powerful. And I want to dig into that a little bit more. You know, there's several different industries that affect pretty much of how the world goes around. One, that is media. Number two, that is the law, meaning the court systems. Number three, politics. Why? Because those are the ones who put the laws and put them into effect. All right. Number four, the banks. And number five, business. Now, I say all of these things because if you notice, they all have one common denominator, Ashley. And that is that they are all moved by money in some fashion or form. A bank doesn't come into a neighborhood, it can't make money. A police department does not operate without federal grants and state monies that allow it to operate. Politicians do not get elected by themselves. There has to be a money trail that backs them up. The court system operates based on how much money is running through that court system and the money that is the city is given or that place is given based on how many prisoners are in those prisons. So here's my question to you. If you were president, what would be the first thing you would do to change this situation? Just for a second, put yourself in as the president of the United States, Ashley Little. What would you do to create change?
The first thing I would do, because of, you know, the issue that's going on now, which we know is a lot more to it, is the police brutality, right? We got to put laws in place, right, to protect our citizens. We got to put laws in place and a strategy in place for what is the process that a police officer has to go through, right? What's the process? What's the training? All of that has to be, you know, strategized out, you know, in a process, right? Because I do believe that, I don't, and I could be wrong, that they don't go through a process, right? And I'm thinking, you know, for the most part, sometimes in some of the police departments, they're just hired on, right? They just have a high school diploma, they come in, they hired on, right? It's no process, there's no training, there's no any type of, you know, one-on-ones that you have to go through to know how to deal with people of all races, because I do think some of this is coming from because people can't relate, right? So I would definitely tackle that first, right? We have to get that right, because this is not just starting to happen. It's been happening, right? But we have to get it right. We have to get it right.
Mm, very, very powerful. Now let's move into more of where you exist, and that is the media format, right?
Right.
Technically, so, there. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go. You was about to say something.
So you were asking me what I would do on a media standpoint of it.
Right.
So we need to start sharing more positive stories for our Black communities, right? I do think a lot of things that are shown that the media has put out there is, you know, not been the best picture of what's really going on, right? And we also got to start showing what's really happening. Like, a lot of these deaths and things that we're finding out all of a sudden, it hadn't even hit the media, right? But we're quick to put up other things that have nothing to do, you know, with anything. And we put it on it to put on the Black community to really not give good light to that. But we're doing some great things, right? And I'm just talking about the Black community right now. We need to shine more light on the great things that we're doing, right? And stop shining light on, like, oh, they're just looting or they're doing something. No, show the people protesting. Show the people that are actually making change in the community, that are investing in or giving back, right? So the media, I feel that the media has to give more opportunities and more exposure to the great things that the Black community is doing.
Mm, very, very powerful. And the reason why I'm sticking on this, because this is where you're at. This is where I'm at, Ashley. And, you know, are you aware of how many major media companies there is, just off the cuff?
You know, I'm not aware of how many, but it's a good amount.
Right. Okay. All right. So here, I'm going to give you a little insight here, and I want you to give me your thoughts on it. There's only 6 major media companies. One is Comcast, and their net worth is about $148.2 billion. Number 2 is Disney, and their net worth is about $88.1 billion. Then there is Time Warner, which is at $60.6 billion. There is News Corp, which is about $56 billion. There is National Amusements, which is about $43 billion. And then there's Sony, which is about $34.1 billion. Now, out of those 6, those are the 6 major media companies out here. Of course, there's a lot of independent and small, but these are the majors. A lot of companies live inside of these companies. Mm-hmm. Out of these 6 companies, Ashley, there is nobody who looks like me and you at the top of the food chain, right? Mm-hmm. That's a problem, right?
Yeah.
So if and then the people that are making the money don't look like me and you. Let me just run this list for you right quick. Bob Iger, who's of Disney. He makes about $44.9 million a year. Okay? Summer Redstone makes about $4.6 billion. He's of National Amusements. Jeff Bezos makes about $32.5 million. Brian Roberts makes about $40.8 million. And Rupert Murdoch makes about $22.3 million. And of Sony, Mr. Kazu Hari makes about $4.9 million. But all of them together, they create a mass media portfolios. And if you don't have people at the top, like what you're doing, like what I'm doing, and some other people are doing, the message is construed. And you only see what they want you to see, regardless of their heart and, you know, soul. But, you know, and I know, as you said, I've talked about the HBCUs, a lot of times we tend to go to places, right, that we're comfortable with, right, where people look like us, we can have a conversation. So my question is, they do too. Why are we not at the top of the food chains of these big media companies?
A lot of it is, you know, I think a lot of people have probably more than likely have applied for some positions, but I think a lot of it has to do with the color of our skin. But then again, you know, and you know this, Benny, but you know, you've been an entrepreneur all your life, so it's a little bit different. But in corporate America, I can speak for it. They don't want you to get but so far, right? Mm-hmm. They, you know, and I think that's an issue, and that's a major problem, because you know it does need to be more of us there. And I'm going to say this because us people of color, we do apply for those positions now. In some companies, they don't want to see it, you know. So we just have to we gotta change the narrative. We have to change the narrative, and the fact that they don't give us a seat at the table, we gotta build our own. It's just all coming back to owning our own, building our own, right? But at the end of the day, when we do get that seat, though, because some of us do have the opportunity to get the seat, right? Mm-hmm. We got to create room for others. We got to open the door for other ones that look like us to be able to change this.
Mm, very, very powerful.
And that's the problem I see, too, sometimes.
Absolutely. Me, I'm not waiting for a seat. I'm buying the building. And then you can right. come and have a seat at my table, because I ain't right. got time to be waiting for a seat. So tell me what the vision of Ashley Little Enterprises is going forward. Your media consulting, writing, right, and publishing. Tell me what your ultimate goal, what does that look like in the next 5 to 10 years?
In the next 5 to 10 years, I would like to have a major media company, basically. So that's the goal, to do more, to center it around all media. Like with my show, I've taken it now, made it out of a magazine. You know, and I'm going to continue on to grow that as well. We're creating Your Seat at the Table. So my ultimate goal is to have a major media platform, and then to have different, you know, areas that we will be focusing on. And so that's really what I'm building to do. You know, my goal is to be the Bashani one day, right? So that's my goal. And so I'm working, you know, long nights to make sure that I invest in my dream and invest in what I want to do. Because the ultimate goal is to own everything and to create that legacy.
Now, there's a lot of beautiful Black women who have a voice and have something to say or want to say. What advice do you give to them about getting their voice out and being able to be part of the solution instead of just a problem?
I would tell all Black women, don't be afraid to speak up, right? Don't be afraid to speak up. And to just do it. I think a lot of people, especially Black women, sometimes we don't speak up because we're women, right? No, step up, you know, get at that table. And I'm very big on, you know, getting out there, putting yourself out there and get into the table. But also when you get to the table, bring value to the table. Make people want to listen to you. Make them want to listen to you, right? And so I think that's what we got to focus on. When we get to that table, can you stay at the table? Right? Can you stay at the table? And what are you bringing to the table? I've been in rooms with many men of very high power, and I've been the only female, right? Because I brought value to listen, right? And so I tell any woman, just step out there and do it. We are very powerful. We are very powerful.
Very, very powerful. If just in case you're joining us, we are talking to Ashley Little. She is the CEO and the founder of Ashley Little Enterprises, a media consulting and publishing company. Ashley, what has been the obstacle you have come across, you know, getting this off the ground and getting the message out about all the powerful people of color that they are out there, et cetera, et cetera? What has been some of your biggest obstacles that you can share with the audience?
I will say this, and, you know, building it, you meet a lot of people. And I will say, you know, making sure I have the right people on my team, that was some things I had to learn, right? Still learning, you know, making sure you have the right people on your team, making sure everybody sees the vision, right? Making sure everybody sees the vision of where you want to go, and just making sure I'm very careful with who has access to me, because I'm a person, I'm a giver. I want to help everybody. I wish I could, you know, everybody if I can. And so I had to learn that, you know, Ashley, everybody has a position, right? Everybody has a position. And I know you're familiar with this conversation, Ben. Everybody has a position on the football team, right?
Absolutely.
And so I had to look at it that way. I didn't look at it that way. So these are the things that I am learning as I'm growing my company, as I'm growing my media company, that I just have to make sure that I have the right team. So that's a big thing. And then, you know, reaching out to great people who are doing great things throughout the world. My goal is to highlight people who are really creating their seats, who have built their tables, who are really doing great things, to come and give us strategies and wisdom and their successes and failures on how we can get there. That's the ultimate goal, to have those people that can get on the platform and talk about their journey and give us ways of how we can continue to get there. And those are the types I want to highlight. And I also want to highlight the people who are just up and coming too, right? It's what I do every day as well. To highlight up and coming people who are growing, right? So that's my goal, and to highlight us, right? And I do, you know, interview other races, but I'm all about highlighting us, right? And I know when I first started out in the media, I wanted to interview, you know, all of us, not listeners that are listening, you know, if you are a business person, everybody wants to get to that million or that billion, right? But we know the key to doing that is building relationships, right? That's the key to get to that million and that billion. It's not the money. No, it's about, can you build relationships, right? Can you genuinely build them? And how can you use those relationships and invest those relationships and turn them into money? And so that's why I create the platform, because I wanted to interview millionaires and billionaires and other great people in the world that are where we want to be, and highlight those. We all know about the celebrities and everything, but it's more than them that's out there, right? And so I wanted to be able to bring that to light and highlight that. And that's why I call my show Creating Your Seat at the Table, because I want to bring light to those people that people might not even know about, right? Or they might know about them, but they're not talked about a lot.
Very, very powerful. And you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And we'll be right back after this short break, ladies and gentlemen.
Even coronavirus can't keep us apart, because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard? The all-new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.
Just in case you're joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., and we are speaking to Ashley Little as she drops it about the media, what's going on, and what she is doing to play her part and be part of the solutions. We're getting a little feedback to Ashley. I'm not sure what that is, though. So let's move forward here, Ashley. What got you to this point right here? What got you to this mindset that you felt it was important for you to be part of the solution instead of just part of the problem?
You know, what got me there is just my passion for, you know, creating a better way, right? As I've been speaking about throughout the interview, is legacy, and creating a better way and just being a part of the change, right? You know, a lot of people say, you know, y'all got to go vote. Yeah, we voted last time, right? We got to do more than vote, right? So we got to, and there's nothing against voting. I want everybody to go vote, yes. But we got to get out here and start giving back to our communities and building and creating a better way, creating ways to make this change, right? And so that's really my passion for my people, my passion for giving back, and my passion to wanting to be the change agent, right? To make a better way. I know I can't, you know, it's nothing that we can't do, but if everybody should have some type of strategy of action that they plan to take to make this change that we are wanting, right? And so that's why, you know, I'm so passionate about getting out there, making solutions, and being a part of the change and not the problem.
Very powerful. So Ashley, let me ask you this question. Many times I always hear, as I go to events, speaking at events, and people are saying that, you know, we need more media companies, we need more media hosts and stuff that look like us. And then when these type of, you know, independent media companies are created, it's not supported by the people that claim that they want it. You know what I mean? They still take commercials out on other platforms. I've even had, you know, politicians hit me on the low and, you know, ask me to contribute to the campaign, right? And then I may contribute to their campaign, right? But when it comes for them to run their advertising, I don't see none of that money coming back to black media. Let's talk about that for a sec.
And you have a great point there. And that's another thing we got to tackle there. Why are we not giving back to our own, right? Why would you go to your counterpart, right, to advertise, but then you all want us to interview you and help you with your campaign, right? And so it is an issue, Benny. I mean, we got to start back investing in our own. We got to start trusting our own, right? And as I stated before, our other cultures, they are together. They stick together. And that's the thing with us. We got to form that unity and that trust. And I think a lot of that is lack of trust and lack of unity.
Very powerful. So what I started doing, and, you know, just for the record, I'm just curious, if you're a politician and you inquire about, you know, donating to your campaign, I want a list of the black-owned media companies that you will be running your advertising on. And if you can't tell me that, then we don't really have a conversation, because my point is, you know, I've built, you know, a company to get millions of listeners and stuff. And on top of that, you want me to donate to your campaign, but you won't even come back and run some of those ads on our network. What have you, as a media owner, how have you been able to, one, sustain yourself as a company, and on top of that, you know, still be able to give the messages out you want without that overwhelming support that sometimes white media, you know, gets? They get a lot of more advertising dollars that could, and, you know, there's some places, if they know you 100% black owned, they won't even advertise on it. What have you done to work around that, and what is the solution to that?
Well, what I have done, the first thing is I've created opportunities for others, right, to be able to build their platforms under my company, right, to start their network, start their own stations and shows. So being able to build it up and give other people opportunities to continue to grow their brand, right? And then I've started the people that I want to connect with that, you know, I, you know, want to build those relationships with to continue to build a brand and get it out there. I have been interviewing some of those CEOs and stuff as well. So it's just, you know, getting out there, building those relationships as well to spread the awareness of what we're about, you know, to get, you know, eyes on what I'm doing, as well as I stated, giving other people opportunities as well to be able to build platforms and to grow and help them grow. And then they have their people on and be able to help their people grow, and it keeps going. So that the biggest thing is just being able to give back and be able to help others get there.
Very, very powerful. So Ashley, you know, on part of this is all different sectors of what we're speaking of. And I want to go back to the support that just non-blacks companies that, you know, not even just media, just, you know, whether it's clothing, whether it's hair care. We spent, what, $1.3 trillion, you know, as consumers, and yet we don't own barely anything when it comes to those major companies, whether it be in clothing, whether it be in groceries and things like that. And what this COVID-19 has shown us that, you know, you got to have multiple streams of income. All right. Uh-huh. Number two, it's shown us that, you know, there's a lot of businesses that are considered essential businesses that we are not part of. And so who would ever thought grocery stores and, you know, food delivery, you know, would be making tons of money during a pandemic, but it is. Who would ever thought that hand sanitizer and all that stuff? Why aren't our people focused on, you know, because everybody wants to be a superstar, a sports figure, famous, and all these things. But there's so many things that you can make money from where you might not get the same publicity. But I know some people that are so rich they can die and come back, and you don't even know their name. Why don't we look to those other industries for building companies? Why do you think that is?
It goes back to that unity and trust, right? And then a lot of our people just don't like to invest, right? They don't like to invest in themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing. Like, they don't like to invest in themselves, but you will go support other races, right? And make them rich, right? When you could be investing in the same amount into building a company and doing the work and building your own. And so a lot of that comes from the lack of, for some people, the lack of knowledge. And the lack of wanting everything for free too. That's another thing with our culture. No disrespect.
Talk that talk. Free. No, ain't nothing wrong with talking the truth. Ain't nothing wrong with talking the truth. Go ahead, sister.
Yes, you want everything for free. You got to invest money to make money, and that's the key thing. But you won't give your sister, your brother in our community. You want to invest $1,000, but you'll go over here and give them $2,000, right? And you continue to make them rich. So we just got to get that mentality. And just educate ourselves and then take action with it, right? And start investing and building our own. We have to start doing that. And we got to stop thinking that because we're Black, that you can get it for free, right? Because we're the same color, that I could give you your service for free. But you wouldn't go to the other race and ask them anything for free. You would pay them $2,000. You would pay them $5,000 for their service.
Mm. So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about investing. What have you learned about investing and how important it is in our community, per se?
You know, I've learned a lot about investing with me being invested myself with real estate, in the industry. I'm not Benny Randall yet, but I have started investing and I have property.
Stop it. You're Ashley Little and you're doing all right. Stop it.
I can give you kudos, though. But yes, so I do own property and stuff, more than one. And I know that that's legacy, and that has opened so many doors of opportunity for me, getting to that. And I tell people, man, get into owning, in real estate and get into investing. Real estate is really the key. Like, it's one of the keys to legacy and really flipping, taking your investments and flipping it, right? And really building that legacy. So I tell everybody, like, Start investing. I'm not telling you if you don't have a million, you can start somewhere, but start investing. And it has changed my life a lot, just continuing to invest, and then also, I do trade, I don't know, everybody might have to look great about that, but I do trade in the stock industry. So I have stock and, I believe in doing it. I believe in that legacy, right? I believe in investing. That is the key. But you got to be able to be willing to put money there to make money. And that's some of the things that our Black community don't want to do. They don't want to put the money, they don't want to put the money in to make the money. But you got to take those sacrifices and take those risks if you're trying to get to the next level and really start owning stuff.
Very, very powerful. So I love it because I know a lot of people that try to free 99 themselves to success, and then they wonder why they don't get there. But yet they won't go into Whole Foods and ask, can they have some free food? They won't go into the CVS or the Costco or the States and say, hey, I'm Black, give me some free food. They don't do that. They know it requires money, and they go in and they spend that money. And I think it's part of the awakening that needs to happen. And we got to also remember that if you don't own, you will be owned. No ifs, and buts about it. If you don't own, you will be owned, because just think about the NFL. There's 32 owners who own everybody who plays in it. Think about that. 32 owners who own that whole industry. And regardless of what the Roger Goodell says and all of those people, it's the owners who have the last say so, because they pay. How can we get people's mindsets to change a little bit, Ashley? Because I often tell people this. If you can get a $20 million contract from somebody who's given other people $20 million contracts on a team, how much you think that owner is making? Because he can't give you $20 million if he's not making $100 million per person. Let's talk about the mentality of thinking that, well, let me just get a piece of the candy jar instead of the entire candy jar, the distribution of it. Can we talk to that, please?
You know, we got to stop making, because, I mean, like you said, you can't give me $20 million if you don't got $20 million, right? So, I mean, while you giving me $20 million, I'm making millions or more, maybe billions, because I'm able to give each one of you all $20 million. And so we got to stop making other people rich, right? While they're giving us $20 million, right, which is probably pennies, we could be owning it, right? And actually sitting at those tables and making those same decisions, right? But a lot of us, we get so caught up over, oh, man, I got $20 million. That's amazing. You're so complacent, right? You're so complacent and comfortable. And I think a lot of people don't like to be uncomfortable. And that's the thing. Like, you got to be uncomfortable, and you got to start taking those risks and stop settling. Because I can say that for corporate America, too. You get to a certain position, you feel like you made it. You still don't own it, though, right? You still don't own it.
You got that right.
Working all these hours when you could be home building that same company or building an even better company, and you could be owning it, right? And so I think a lot of people, especially in corporate America, we get so used to the money, right? But man, that's nothing to the owners that are paying us, right? That's, you know, you working all those hours and you still underpaid, really.
You got that right. Absolutely. She said you're underpaid. You better believe that. Let's talk.
I mean, six figures, what's that?
That's nothing. Okay.
What's
that's
that? What's that?
That's petty cash.
Right.
So that's all I can tell you. At least in my book, that's like petty cash.
But the six-figure people that love to talk about the six figures, we've been past six figures now. We've been past six and seven. Like, when we're talking about that, people act like that's new. Like, no, that's not hard. Let's talk about some real money, though.
Hello. I call it ugly money. When you got ugly money, you can die and come back and still have change left over. All right? That's what I call ugly money. So let me speak to this. I know you have a very interest in HBCUs. Tell me about that, and tell me what is your vision for that? Because I know you wrote a book, and you know you gathered people that are HBCUs. Can you tell me the importance of that and the HBCUs?
Awesome. Well, the reason why I created HBCU Experience Movement, LLC, and we trademarked it because, you know, I'm all about that legacy business. So we made sure we did that, too. We did it to share our stories, right? Because it's so important for us as Black people to share our stories. And it's not enough stories out there from us, right? And so I wanted to change the narrative. So I went back and I said, I want to create this opportunity to not only share stories, but start giving back, right? And I know all eras of life, we all give back. But it was a major thing that I saw that needed to be fixed with younger alumni. That, you know, you go back to homecomings or you go back home, but you party, you do everything else, but you don't invest back, you don't give back and make a way like some of our older counterparts. So we got to change that narrative and not only just be talking, but we got to start investing. And so I wanted to put light on that. And so I built the vision. I went back to my alma mater, which is A&T. I brought on 44 authors who shared their stories. And not only shared their stories, but gave back too. And we were able to raise $10,000 our first year and create an endowment. And I said, you know, I want to touch all 107. I want to do a movement because this is needed everywhere. We saw how successful the first book was at my alma mater. And I said, well, we need to spread this awareness, right? We want to change the narrative. So the next school we did, which we've done back in April, was Tennessee State, which was amazing, in Virginia State. And Virginia State University, we got endorsed by the president. He thought it was such an amazing idea to be a part of. He was in the book and he endorsed it, wrote a letter and said, you know, this is something that's been needed, right? And so now I know that, and I've been knew that it was something that was needed, because I think when people are trying to start their visions and stuff and you're building, you need to make sure that it's needed, right? You need to make sure that it's solving a problem. And so I think that's the key with us entrepreneurs when we're building and creating. I'm not against creating because I'm a creator, but when you are creating, make sure it's a solution. Like a solution, it has to solve a problem. If it's not solving a problem, it's just a hobby, right? And so now we're continuing to go to other schools, right? In Southern University, we got A&T going on again. I'm building A&T again right now, and we're probably about at 50 or more authors this time. Because every time I go to each school, we're not just doing a hit and run. It's every year we're going to go back and continue to keep this movement going and to be bigger and better each year, right? And to be able to give back to these HBCUs and touch all of them eventually. So it's all about spreading awareness spreading the awareness, to give back to our HBCUs, investing in them financially, right? Because, you know, they are the foundation, and we cannot let those schools die. They are needed, right? They are needed, and there's history behind them. And we also got to start sharing our stories. We have to.
Very, very powerful. Just in case you're just joining us on the Benny Randall Show, you're listening to Ashley Little. She's the CEO and founder of Ashley Little Enterprises, and we're talking about all things media. Ashley, explain to me, though, you know, it's such a powerful institution, the HBCUs. Why does it have a lack that I've read in the article? Why does it have a lack of funding when it's such... We have so many wealthy people that look like us, but it seems like the endowment goes to non, you know, black organizations and, you know, institutions instead of HBCU. Where's the disconnect? If we spent $1.3 trillion as consumers, but we can't support the institutions that create the foundation for other people coming up behind them, there's a disconnect. Can you tell me what that disconnect is?
A lot of it is just not giving back, right? There's a lot that plays a part with our HBCUs, you know, being a part of the alumni, being involved in the alumni association, actually paying your dues, right? Actually creating programs and going back to give back, you know, and you don't have to just be financially, but financially is a big part of it. But we just got to start back being more involved with it, right? It's a lack of just spreading that awareness. We're going to get our education, but hey, we're leaving them hanging at the end of the day. Like with Bennett College, they almost lost their accreditation. They're actually working on getting it back now. That was a big part of why I started this movement, because Bennett College, almost the doors were almost closed. So we're letting people come in of other races to shut the doors. And then another thing is we got other races that are coming in, actually taking over some of the HBCUs. So we gotta get more involved. We got to get more involved. We got to start giving back. We got to start putting our money where our mouth is. That's pretty much the big thing. We are for our HBCUs. We're for this Aggie Pride and what, you know, all the other prides. But can we give? We need to start giving back, right? Not just talking, investing. What are you doing? If you're not giving your school for $20 a month, you need to be giving something, right? And a lot of it has been with our young alumni, too. Young alumni don't really give back a lot. So I knew that was a big change that needed to be made, you know, and they think that if they don't have $1 million or if they're not giving $10 million, that it's not going to be counted. No, it is. You know, everybody starts somewhere. If you're not giving $10 million, at least try to give $25 or maybe $500, you know, but you don't have to be a millionaire to start back giving back. And I think a lot of, based off surveys I've done and conversations I've had, people were afraid to give back. They didn't feel like their money would count. No, it does count. You know, it does count.
Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. I love that, man. And I love that you are growing and expanding to all the different aspects of media, because media is more than just getting on a microphone. You know what I mean? You're getting into book publishing, as you've already done, you know, et cetera, in public relations and marketing. How does that relate? How does that work into your vision with the public relations and marketing that you are getting into?
It works a lot because it continues to help build my brand, you know, and it also continues to help me spread the awareness, to continue to help me build others' brands. I'm behind a couple different brands, and, you know, being able to build other people and help them get the exposure and attention that they need, but also making sure that I'm coaching people to understand that be something. When you're trying to get out there in the media and have this exposure and build your brand, give them something to talk about. Give people something. Make them want to talk to you. Make them bring value with it, right? Make sure that when you're out there and you're trying to build and get yourself out there, you know, make sure people want to, like, interview you. Make sure that you get their attention, right? And I think a lot of people, you know, we want to get out there, but we still got things that we need to be doing to be able to be successful once we get the exposure and bring the attention to us, right? But I also coach to say, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there too, because you got to start somewhere. But that has helped me, because most of my publishing clients, you know, people I interview, I've been able to help them get in major publications, Sheen Magazine, things like that. So it just all kind of all in a full circle, because sometimes people I'm interviewing or clients that I have, they need my services to continue to build their brand, to continue to take their brand to the next level. So me being in public relations has really helped me a lot. And honestly, before I even started really focusing on it, people were reaching out to me about how can you help me with build my brand. And so I know I've had many conversations with you, Benny, and some others, that when people have a certain amount of people continue to reach out to you about something, that means that, you know, you need to look into that, right? And so I was just like, you know, I was just working, because that's what I do. I just work, right? And I was like, you know, I thought about it, and I have the connections, I'm building relationships, and I'm out there. You know, I'm going to look into that. So what I did, I added it to my company, right? Public relations, because of the connections and the relationships that I have and the actual results that I've gotten for people, because that's the key. What are the results that you've got? How have you helped it, right? So.
Very, very powerful. We're coming down to the last few minutes. This has been an extraordinary interview, and I love that you are pushing yourself beyond what you're comfortable with, because that is what will make the difference in your success and the success you want to go for. So as a serial entrepreneur, what does the world have in store for Ashley Little? What is the world? What can the world expect?
The world can expect Ashley Little, continuing to grow bigger and better, continuing to serve, right? And continue to create this empire that I'm after, right? And a media platform that highlights, right, our community, our Black community, and just highlights in general the great things that are going on in many different aspects, right? The publishing side, the public relations side, you know, the TV and the radio side. It's just building that platform to be able to reach back and, you know, help others, right? But also highlight the people that are, the people might not know about, right? And bringing that exposure and that attention to the people that might have been overlooked that are doing great things. Like you stated earlier, You know some people that are making them millions, right? But nobody really knows. So I want to highlight those people, right? So I just want to change the narrative to encourage our community, especially to start investing too, to bring it around. Like, how can we own y'all? How can we build it? How can we really make change, right? We're in a new decade. How can we really make change? What do we need to do? These are the actions that we need to take, right? And getting those experts and connecting with those experts to continue to bring them in for panels and conversations to continue to push the narrative forward, right? Because we can't get there by ourselves. So why not go talk to the people that have already went there and been there, right, to help us push the narrative? But they can help us push it, but we got to do it.
Very, very powerful. I tell you, this has been an extraordinary interview with Ashley Little, man. We've been just going, and I looked at the time, and I'm like, well, damn, boy, she's getting it in. No, I understand why she in media, because she can show enough talk, boy. I could tell you that. And that's a good thing. She can show enough talk. I heard you speak earlier about you bringing out a new magazine. Tell my listeners a little bit about that before you get out of here.
I'm excited. Creating Your Future Table magazine. I'm so excited about this amazing magazine. And my goal was to create it for the entrepreneur, the mompreneur, the corporate professionals, the people that are doing great things, right? The multimillionaires that are really have created their seat at the table, right? And I'm all about quality over quantity. And as most people, if you're not aware of my show, it's called Creating Your Seat at the Table. And I only put people on my platform that have created and built their own tables and of quality over quantity. And so this magazine is really going to continue to shine light to not only just be a magazine. It's not a magazine. It's actually going to be a tool for a solution, right? For a solution. So when you read this magazine, you're going to see the millionaire spotlight. You're going to see how these people, how do they get there, right? They're giving us real strategies, right? How do they get there? How what are they doing to push the narrative? How can we continue to do that and be able to get to where they are, right? Then we're going to have different sections, women and men to look out for in 2020. People that are growing in their brand, people that have already built empires that are going to show you, and we're highlighting them to show their journey, right? Then I got my kidpreneurs, because I'm all about giving back to our young generation. We have some kidpreneurs that are probably doing better than some grown folks, right? And with their businesses, right? So highlighting them, you know, to show their success, right? And then I'm focusing on also, we got my cover stories, the front covers. So I'm just excited of the things that we're about to highlight, the entrepreneur spotlights. And each time that I do my magazine, because the goal right now is quarterly, I'm going to be highlighting different things that we need to focus on. Like I'm going to have some things focusing on investing, my top real estate investors, my, you know, people that are really giving back and really making changes, right? So this is something that's going to be a solution, right? It's not just a magazine, it's a solution so that we can continue to get the knowledge that we need, right? The knowledge and be able to have those that mentality to start owning. And so that's why this magazine is quality over quantity, because I really want it to be able to change. I don't want people just talking. I want people that got results and people that can show us a better way.
So this is going to be digital and hardcover, correct?
Yes, sir. Digital and print. And for all our listeners to know, a special person will be in this. You will see soon, though.
Ooh, yeah, I can't wait to that.
It's a special person. You know, you all know them very well.
Well, all right. So we can expect this to drop when? When would that be dropping? Sometime in the next quarter?
So it should be, our target date is June 22nd. And so that's our target date. Yes, sir.
Very, very powerful. Ashley, I want to thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show here on Bashani Radio app and BashaniRadio.com worldwide and every other place that you can find podcasts. We're doing it. So make sure you go and reach out to us at BashaniRadio.com or download the app or follow us on Instagram over there. You follow us, we'll follow you. All right. That's at Bashani Radio app at Instagram. All right. And let us know what you think. Your final words, Ashley.
My final words is to just do it. Keep going and don't forget to serve first.
She said, don't forget to serve first. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, live and direct right here on the Bashani Radio app worldwide, baby, we global, okay? Make sure you tune in for another episode every single week on BashaniRadio.com and Bashani Radio app and follow us on Instagram. You follow us, we'll follow you back, all right? Tell them, Benny Randall sent you, okay? Until next time, it's not a game, it's a lifestyle. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. This episode was brought to you by socialmediablack.com. Check them out, creating and celebrating the culture 365 days a year. That's socialmediablack.com. And remember, if you don't have any action, you ain't really doing anything. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
The all-new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone. Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan. Home of Bashani Radio app.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom. Now we here. Bashani Radio app or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now we here.